Series going through the book of Acts, and we've made our way to chapter 6, and we considered last time verse 1, and we talked about the murmuring that had risen up in this church in Jerusalem and the reasons for it, but we talked mainly about how the devil tries to disrupt the unity of a church, because if he can disrupt the unity of the church, it will rob the church of God's power and the Holy Spirit's power for the work of evangelism and the work of the ministry. And so we were talking about how he tries to do that from various applications, and one of those is from within. And if he can disrupt the unity and cause bitterness and strife and envy inside of the body, it can't function properly. It can't function like God intended it to, and therefore not have God's power. And so that's what we looked at last time. Satan trying to create divisions among the people. Now the apostles, we read down in the next few verses, we look at the apostles directed by the Lord, established what we believe to be the office of the deacon, an office of service to the Lord and to the church. And we read in verse 2, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." We saw how when this issue with the widows being neglected was cared for, and when God was in control working out these issues, we saw in verse 7 that the work of the Lord increased, the word of God increased, and souls were saved. And the very thing that Satan was trying to disrupt, God worked for good in that church, and the work of the Lord increased. And so those are the things that we considered last week. The church here chose seven men at the direction of the apostles, whom they placed before the apostles and were used by the apostles for the work of the ministry related to the physical needs. And this seems to have been what relieved the problems, and then the work of the Lord increased. Now, I'm just using this as a springboard to get to where we're going. Our text verses tonight are verses 8 through 15. We're going to consider Stephen tonight, though, but we need to use this first part of the chapter to give us the background, to give us the context for the things we're going to talk about tonight. Stephen was one who was chosen as what I believe to be a deacon in that church, to serve in the church. But there were qualifications for these men that were chosen. The Bible says here in Acts 6 that they had to be men of honest report. They needed to be men that were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. It was a qualification in order to serve God in this capacity and serve this church. They had to be full of the Holy Spirit. Well, we also see the qualifications for the office of the deacon listed in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verses 8 through 12. I want you to turn over there, because following the qualifications listed in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we find a promise. All right? So in verses 8 through 12 are the qualifications that are necessary to hold the office of a deacon. But after that comes a promise. And we read in verse 13, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." What is the promise here? Those who use the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree. A faithful deacon is going to earn two things. A good degree, that word means a step up, like a promotion. That's what the word means. And he says, they purchased to themselves this step up and also great boldness in the faith. That word boldness simply means frankness. It means confidence. And so you get the picture here. serving the church in this office of a deacon, you use it well, and you earn for yourself a step up in God's economy and great boldness in the faith, frankness, confidence. And it seems, if we follow what took place in the book of Acts, specifically with Stephen and also Philip, who was another one of the seven, it seems as if the Lord intended for the office of the deacon to be a stepping stone to further ministry, possibly even pastoring, preaching. A stepping stone to becoming a preacher of the gospel. At least that was the case with Stephen and with Philip. Those are the two notable examples that are given in the book of Acts. And both of those men went on to preach the gospel and serve Christ. Now, Stephen's stint as a preacher was very short, and we're going to read about that in a little while, and maybe even next week. But Stephen was a mighty witness for the Lord. And like I said, his, if you want to call it career, quote, career, as a preacher was short-lived. Acts chapter 7 is only the message that Stephen preached that's recorded in Scripture. Now, we don't know how many other messages he might have preached in that short period of time, but there's only one that's recorded in Scripture, and that's Acts chapter 7. But it was through that message that Stephen preaches in Acts chapter 7, it was through that message that Saul was convicted in his heart, and later Saul was converted to Christ, who then went on to become the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries slash preachers the world has ever known. And I started thinking about that for a little bit. You know, why did God use Stephen in this capacity? As a deacon in the church, to serve the church, and then a step up to be a preacher, to do wonders and to do miracles, which we'll read about. To preach one message that you know, in and of itself may not have seemed to be that influential. It convicted hearts. But Stephen had no idea what God would do with the one message that he preached and how it would affect an impact a person's life who would be converted to Christ, who would later go on to be one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known. Wow. And I thought about that, and the thought came to me that we must never underestimate anything that is done for Christ. Because the fact of the matter is, it's not our abilities and it's not the work that we do. It's God's work and how He chooses to use individuals, and we should never underestimate anything done for Christ in the name of Christ. Because little is much when God is in it. And so you make the application. You know what? You might think that just handing out a gospel tract to somebody, you know, or leaving one at the restaurant when you pay your tip, you know, and you just leave them a gospel tract, you might think that that's not really anything at all. And you might think that something small like that is not going to make a difference. But we should never underestimate anything that's done for Christ in the name of Christ. Because it's not about us and it's not about our work. It's about what He chooses to do. And if God chooses to use you in that way, and He has a greater purpose somewhere else down the line, we may never know about it. But to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Amen? We shouldn't underestimate anything done for Christ. In fact, if you look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Matthew 25 and verse 34 and following, the Bible says, Jesus said this, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them unto the left, Depart from me, that are cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You understand here what he's saying is how we have served others and the small things that we might do. And he gives a few illustrations here. But those things done in the name of Christ as unto the Lord are valuable in his sight. And so we should not ever underestimate what the Lord can do and will do from even the small, simple things, the things that that to us might seem insignificant. Little is much when God is in it. You never know what just a couple of words, timely words, might do to begin to prick somebody's heart and cause them to be open to the Lord. But I want us to go back to chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 8 through 15 as our text here tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, we ask that you bless the reading and preaching of your word. Father, would you encourage our hearts with it tonight? Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. The title of the message tonight is A Shining Testimony. A Shining Testimony. Stephen's face, here we read at the end of chapter 6, Stephen's face became a witness of Stephen's faith. Let me say it again. His face became a witness of his faith. The first thing that I want you to look at with me is in verse 8. We see him serving. We see him serving. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Here he is serving Christ. Here he is doing great wonders and miracles among the people. The Bible says that he was full of faith and power. That word power is a Greek word that means force. But it is tied specifically to miraculous power or abilities. And so here is a man who was full of faith and power or force, miraculous power and miraculous ability. How in the world did Stephen have the ability to do great wonders and miracles? He was a mortal man, just like you and me. Well, you know, the secret of his ability is not really a mystery at all. The Bible says earlier that he was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. It was a qualification to be a deacon, of which he was chosen. And his ability to do miraculous things was not of his own. It was because he was full of the Holy Ghost. It was God's power. And you know, it is within the grasp of every servant of Christ to have access to that same power. Now, we certainly may not be healing people of diseases. We may not be causing the blind to see, etc., etc., but we have access to the same exact power, and not only do we have access to it, it is necessary in order for us to truly serve Christ. We need the Holy Spirit's power. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, Jesus said to his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after what? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and then ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world." Right? You're going to receive the power to be a what? To be a witness when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you. It's necessary in order to serve Christ. The strength to be used of God, having the Holy Spirit's power, we've already established is necessary. But that strength to be used of God is not something that we can put on or take off like a coat, like a garment. Oh, it's time to serve the Lord again. I guess I better get the Holy Spirit on. That's not how it works. In fact, the Word of God teaches us in Galatians chapter 6, I believe it is, that if we live in the Spirit, if we're saved and we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. It's a command of the Lord for us as children of God to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." What's the implication? Unless we're walking in the Spirit, what are we going to do? Fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Right? We need God's power. We need the Holy Spirit. Not only to control this flesh and to live a holy and a righteous life, but we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to serve the Lord. Truly, honestly, it's not about us at all then, is it? It's about the Lord. And the strength to serve God isn't something that we can just put on and take off. God wants us to be walking in the Spirit daily. Why? So that He could say, "Pastor Demlo, there's somebody over here that I want you to talk to." So that He can say, "Jordan Humphrey, Josh McCandless, Job Ford, etc., 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 etc. There's somebody that I want you to talk to influence their life. There's some way that I want you to serve me in this church. There's something that I want you to do for somebody else." We need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that we can be sensitive and tender to His voice so that He can use us any way that He chooses, any time He wants. You remember Philip, one of the seven that were chosen. What do we read about in Acts chapter 8 and following? Here's Philip preaching in Samaria, and a great revival breaks out, and people are being saved, and there's this great work of the Lord that's going on, and he's right in the middle of all of this. And the Holy Spirit picked him up and took him all the way out in the middle of the desert to talk to one person, didn't he? Right in the middle of a revival, right in the middle of all these people being saved and a lot of things happening. And the Spirit of God said, "This is what I want you to do." And he went and he obeyed. That's what I'm saying. Walking in the Spirit daily. Having the Spirit of God controlling our lives daily so that we can serve Christ. That's the secret to Stephen's ability to do great wonders, is because he was filled with the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit day by day to be able to be used of God in a manner that He desires. The second principle in Acts chapter 6 that I want to draw your attention to is we see not only Him serving, but we see Him suffering. We see Him suffering. In verses 9 through 14, "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen." We don't have the time to go into who all of these different groups are. But the short version is that these were different sects of Jews, Hellenistic Jews. Remember how we talked to who the Hellenistic Jews were last week? They all had their own synagogue. And I was doing some study and some research, and history tells us that around this time there was approximately 450 to 500 different synagogues in Jerusalem, because they all had their different group and so on. And so anyway, these groups came and started to dispute with Stephen. Verse 10 says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us." Here is Stephen. He's serving the Lord. He's doing things for God. And then all of a sudden, what do we see? We see him suffering for the name of Christ. Stephen, though, was never more like his master than when they sought false witness against him. That's what they did to Jesus, for preaching the truth, for claiming to be God in the flesh, which he was. But they hated him. And truly they hated Stephen without a cause. And this could have been a fiery trial, certainly for Stephen. But the Bible says that he was filled with wisdom and the Spirit. And they were not able to resist the words that he spoke. They were not able to resist the things that he said. And Stephen was actually experiencing the fulfillment of Jesus' promise, actually. Look with me in Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 and verse 15. Jesus says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." The reason that he was able to speak with wisdom and power was because of the fact that he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The reason that he was able to, in the midst of suffering, be able to conquer and endure and all of those things is because of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, here's an application. People that are filled with the Holy Spirit are sure to stir up the enmity of the carnal mind. Think about it. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God and you live a holy life and you live a righteous life and you live a separated life and you seek to be a witness to those around you, maybe co-workers and so on, guaranteed, mark it down, you're going to stir up the enmity of somebody. God-haters, people who hate the truth. Jesus said, all they who live in Christ Jesus, or Paul, I think Paul said that actually, shall suffer persecution. Right? If you live in Christ, live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, to be bold with our faith. The idea of persecution, the idea of being mocked or ridiculed, the idea of being made fun of, for some reason has a way of causing us to shrink in fear, a way of causing us to not speak up and not be bold with the truth. We need the Holy Spirit of God, though, in spite of all of those things, to be bold. You ever get into one of those conversations where you have an opportunity to talk to somebody, and you know, maybe they start up a spiritual conversation, and you say, okay, well, here's a good opportunity. Well, you haven't been walking with the Lord. You haven't been reading your Bible, you haven't been praying, you know, you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you got all these other things going on, you haven't been conscious about your relationship with the Lord, and here comes an opportunity to have a conversation. And you're in the middle of this conversation, and there are things that are said that just kind of stump you. And you're like, you know that there's something there. Like, you could say something, but I can't remember what it is. You understand what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, right? And later on, if you think back on the conversation, like, oh, I should have said this, or oh, I should have said that. I mean, that happens. But it's another reason why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be walking with the Lord. So that the Lord has access then to implant and put truth in your heart and your mind. So that as you're talking, you know, you can sense, these are not my words. This is the Lord. Have you ever been in that kind of a conversation? Or you're witnessing to somebody? And you just know that I'm not thinking these things up. The Spirit of God is bringing it to my mind, and there's just verse after verse after verse that just comes to your mind exactly what that individual needs from the Word of God. That is such a blessing to experience that. And we say, thank you, Lord, for using me. It's so important to be filled with the Spirit of God, to walk with the Lord, so that our tongues might be swift and bold with the truth. And here's Stephen. Here he's disputing with these religious people. And the Bible says they could not resist the wisdom and the Spirit with which he spake. They couldn't deny it. And it was because he's filled with the Spirit of God. But then we see in verse 15, the last thing that I want us to take a look at. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Here we see him shining. Here we see him serving, we see him suffering, but we see him shining. All those that sat in judgment on him, the Bible says that they were looking steadfastly on him. Imagine the picture, imagine the scene. All of these religious rulers had come and they stirred up the people, and they stirred up the scribes, they stirred up the elders, all of these different people, and they rushed on him, and they brought him before the council, and here he is, the lone guy, standing probably encircled by, you know, probably hundreds of, quote, religious leaders and people. Here he is all alone. And they're bringing false accusation. And the Bible says that they were looking steadfastly on him. And they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. What does that mean exactly? I'm not exactly sure. Does it mean that his face was shining or glowing? It's possible. We don't know for sure. However, if you were to read in Luke chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, in context of Jesus rising from the grave and his disciples and the women coming to the tomb and not finding him there. There were two men that sat by in what the Bible calls shining garments. Later on in that same chapter, verses 22 and 23, they were stated as being angels. You know, so is it possible? Yeah, it's possible that Stephen had some sort of a glow about his face. It's possible that there was something like it. But what we do know and what we can be assured of is that the Spirit of God was shining through Stephen. They looked steadfastly on him and they knew there was something different about him. They could see it. At any rate, we know that God was showing through Stephen. And if it's true that his face was shining, imagine what kind of a witness and testimony it must have been to those religious Christ haters. What a testimony it must have been of the resurrection and glorification of Jesus Christ. They were the ones who put Christ to death. They were the ones who rejected him as the Messiah. And now here are his disciples preaching in his name. And they warned the disciples before this, don't speak anymore in his name. They beat him. They threw him in prison. And time after time after time, through his disciples, Jesus Christ is being magnified. Jesus Christ is being lifted up. Imagine what a testimony that must have been to them. if he truly was that way. Here are hundreds probably sitting around who are accusing him, and they see that there's something different about him to the glory and edification and uplifting of the name of Jesus Christ. It's not a coincidence that Stephen was about to preach to them Jesus and say and accuse them, "You hung him on a tree." Let me make this application for you and for me. It's the spiritual life within us, folks, that is the light that shines through us. It is the spiritual life within that we're born again, that we have deity living inside, we have spiritual life. That is the light that shines through us, which is why we're commanded in the Scriptures, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen? Let your light shine. Be bold with the truth. Be a good testimony with your life. And who cares what the God haters were going to try to do and what they're going to try to say? If you're filled with the Spirit of God, the fact is there are going to be those that hate you. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I heard just recently, to kind of sort of illustrate the point I'm making, I heard just recently about a lady in our church who got some books from the library. And she went to take the books back to the library and return them, and she just left a gospel tract in the books. And apparently, those at the library going through the books saw this tract or the church brochure or whatever and called her up to the counter over the PA system and then publicly berated her. "We don't appreciate this sort of thing. You can't do that here," or whatever, etc., etc., etc. Embarrassing her on purpose. There are going to be those who are God haters, who are Christ rejectors. But who cares what the world says? Who cares what they say? We are to faithfully proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the apostles in the book of Acts were beaten and were thrown in prison. And what did they do? They walked away rejoicing, being thankful that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. We're going to find that people are going to slam the door in our face. We're going to find that people want nothing to do with God and real Christianity. We're going to find those who are anti-God who'll do all that they can do to try to demean. Sort of like what happened here with Stephen. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, God can use us, and they cannot resist the wisdom and the spirit with which we would speak. When God is the one doing the work. Amen? Our light needs to shine. We need to walk with the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, our light will be darkness and will not shine forth like we ought to, like we need to. We need to walk with the Lord. But what a privilege. What a privilege to have Creator God choose to use you. And to use you, and to use you, and you, and you, and you, and to use me to bring glory to His name. What a privilege. There's nothing greater, nothing better in this life. But in order for us to be used of the Lord like He desires, we need the Holy Spirit of God. Just like Stephen, who was filled with the Spirit of God, who did great wonders and miracles. Amen? And let this be a challenge and an encouragement for us to walk with the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for great examples like this, encouragements to us. Father, I pray that we would truly seek after the Lord and desire to walk with You each day, yielding and surrendering and submitting to Your will in our lives. Father, to begin each day humble before the Lord, begin each day with a surrendered attitude. Lord, I'm yours today. Take me, use me in your service. Use me to bring glory to your name. Father, may that be the prayer of our heart. Father, we thank you for a church that is missions-minded. Thank you for a church that is evangelistic. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunities that you give us to teach and preach Christ and to have weekly Bible studies and so on. But Father, we ask that you'd give us more. Father, we ask that you'd give us even more of a tender heart and surrendered heart to the things of God. Father, that you'd use us in a greater way to bring glory to your name. Father, that we'd have more people that we can have Bible studies with. And Father, would you give us a harvest of souls? Father, these that we're dealing with on a regular basis or a weekly basis, Father, save their soul. Only you can. And Lord, it's not about us and it's not our work. It's yours. But Father, you choose to use humble servants. And so Lord, we pray that you'd continue to glorify yourself in us. Lord, that we pray that you would continue to use us to reach people. Father, we pray that you would bring these who are exposed to the truth to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ for your honor and your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight. Good to see you folks here. Lord bless you this week. Don't forget we have just a short, quick meeting here, organizational purposes, right after church. Make sure you greet our guests, greet one another, and be on purpose about what you do for Christ this week. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. Thank you.